podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. So excited you decided to join us today. Before we jump in and talk about the topic today, I'll get it out. I'm leaving that in. I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shoe machine on the market, bar none. They are awesome. They rock. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. We have a special, quote unquote, special going on right now where we're giving quarterly memberships. We're super excited about that. People seem excited about it. And then that maybe come in and join for 3 months and take a couple months off. I personally would never leave teachhoops.com, but you have that option. And it's great. So go over and check it out, teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Let's head off to the podcast.
And you know, that's our program values. That's what we do. What are you willing to sacrifice? And what is it like, what do you value the most? And
right.
Once you understand that, really, that it's bigger than you, right? And you're building
which is hard for a teenage boy. It's very hard.
Oh my gosh. Try telling them that, hey, listen, man, in this sport, you need everybody. It's just like, what? You know, it was weird because even getting water was a problem, right? People thought they were too good to get water, like during the timeout. Right. And it came to the point this year, like, I had to make a statement. So I made everybody get a cup of water during the timeout. No, everybody walk over there and get a cup of water, right? And now come back just so they can show that nobody's better than anybody right. else. You know, and just like you said, building that culture. And then after I kind of beat him in the head a little bit, speak about the discipline and stuff like that, what I've really talking about is we want to build unbreakable bonds, right? So we want to create a brotherhood on this team that's like nothing else. And that's really the goal, is to, when this is all over, right? Because this season is going to be 3-4 months, right? We've been together since the beginning of school, so we're going to be together for about 6 months, just being with each other, practicing hard, getting after it. But when this is over, you guys want to build memories that you will have forever, right? And something that we started doing this year, and I loved it. Every Saturday morning practice, I played Uno with one of my kids, and we played Uno for conditioning, right? So practice started at 9, 8:30 was the Uno game, and I promise you, it came to the point where, like, parents were, like, jumping off their kids, like, coach, you mind if I watch? And I played Uno with my kids for conditioning, and that just built a culture, you know, built a relationship.
Explain how Uno works. Explain how this works.
So, 8:30, the kids come in, the Uno cards are on the table. We play best out of 7. So, it's the card game Uno.
Yep. So, you know, how many kids do you have in your team?
I had... This year we carried 12.
So it's you and 12, all 13 of you are playing one game?
I pick a kid.
Oh, it's one kid.
Yeah.
You versus one kid.
Yeah. So it's kind of like they all get to cheer on, you know, their teammate. Okay. And it's just me and my staff and maybe a parent, like, come on, coach, you can do it. So I pick a kid every week. And that's how we did that Saturday morning, right? So
okay, I was going, God, that would take forever.
That'd take forever. That'd take forever. We can't do that.
Okay.
And we did that.
I love that. That's a great golden nugget there. Just something. It's got to be something. It's got to be something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. To show them also that, like, I'm more than just the guy who's screaming at you during the game. You know, like, let's build this relationship.
I'm the guy that beats you in Uno every Saturday. I'm that guy too,
you know. So it was awesome just for them to see that other side of me, the laughing, joking, goofy. And I try to insert that as much as possible. But, you know, it's a thin line, especially as a young coach. You do want to win because you kind of want to prove to yourself that you can win. But right. I also had to take a step back and remind myself that, hey, listen, man, like, it's not all about that, right? You have kids who are giving you everything they got, acknowledge it, right? And just, yes, let them know when they're not doing the right thing, but also let them know when they are, you know, like, tell them that, yo, this is great. I love what you did in school, or I love what you did for your sister, to show them that it's bigger than basketball. And a big thing that we're getting into is community service. Like during Christmas time, I'm making it my mission to hit a shelter or hit somewhere where these kids can serve somebody else.
I think that's really that's just, good, Coach.
That's such a surreal experience, man.
Yep.
Such a surreal experience. You know, this year, a lot of my kids got a chance to go to like the sharing communities, like a YMCA, and they fed homeless during Christmas time, like right before Christmas break. And when they came back and we got back to practice, and I just spoke to them, and because you could see like they were all in like a state of like, what just happened? I'm like, how do you guys feel? And it was like, Coach, I feel amazing. Like, yo, I just helped somebody who didn't know what they're going to eat next get a meal. And I'm like, God, like, that's the ultimate goal. Like, that's the golden rule, right? You treat others how you want to be treated.
Right.
And so every year I try to just beat that into them because it's also a wake-up call to them, because a lot of these kids with social media and technology, they're all, like, full of themselves, you know, and they get that.
Well, part of it, too, is it's the egocentric – you know, brain of, yes. You know, of that, you know, yeah.
Yes, of people, right? And that's just, and I think that's one of the biggest things, though, is like you just spoke about, like when you stop living for yourself, like it just makes much more sense.
Right.
You know, like you know that you're here to help other people. So,
yeah.
And that's what we build on, and that's what we talk about. And I also get ideas at this point from the kids of stuff they would like to do, you know, like, maybe if it's a bowling night, or maybe it's just, hey, Coach, we want to see where you live, and let's come over for dinner one night, right? So
There's
all type of things that we can do to build bonds outside of basketball.
Which is really important, and that's been an underlying theme on everybody, too. It's like you have to build relationships outside of the court if you want to do stuff on the court.
Absolutely.
Band of brothers is what I'd refer to it as.
There's a reason they
brainwash – those,
I love it.
It is, but it's band of brothers, man. It's like, it's the Don Meyer foxhole test. Like, who do you want in your foxhole? Like, I'm in the front. Who am I going to put on the left and the right and behind me?
That's nice.
Yeah, it's that foxhole test. We always do the foxhole test early in the season. It's like,
who do you want in your
foxhole, guys? And it's amazing. It's like, you know, it's trust.
You build that. Yes, yeah. I love that. Band of brothers. I love it. And, you know, you were kind of in my PowerPoint earlier, but this is kind of how we leave it. This is kind of how I break down end it. It's just, you want to leave it better, right? And you want to be great. So we re-emphasize, you know, that be great thing. And it's helpful. You want to leave this program in a better shape than you entered it, right? And the mission is to be great from the moment you enter this and carry on that attitude forever. So we just let the guys know that, hey, listen, regardless of whatever record we end up being or whatever we achieve, we want to make sure that come March, April, this program is in a much better position than it was in October and November. And that's what we emphasize. And that's what the kids are starting to understand, that if they build something here, right, it's up to the next class to go here, right? You can't just keep the program here and expect it to be better. And that's how we end the presentation. And I speak to the kids about, you know, our mission during the season, our goals within the season. And we just get it going from there. And every day,
23 is tall.
23 is real tall. Oh, man. He was 6'7" and a half.
6'7". He's a big boy.
But it was the first year ever playing basketball.
It's one of those. Yep.
Yeah. So he was a great kid, though. Phenomenal. Lights out. But this is us, man. This is before game.
He's shown his those who are listening, he's shown his contact information right now. So I'll put that in the show notes too, along with this. So people have it. Anything else on this, Coach?
That's really it, man. Okay. I'm just going to reach out to you and other coaches just to get some more advice.
I think it's great. All right. So let me take over where I feel comfortable. Hold on.
I'm going to stop sharing.
So, all right. So let's talk about a couple things. So describe your coaching philosophy. You kind of have a little bit in the stuff we've done already, but what's your coaching philosophy?
Yeah. So as a team, and basically how we're going to get after it is we are really a defense first type of team. So that's something that as coaching, I took pride in and I preach to the boys We're going to play defense. So that's something that to me.
You play zone or you play man?
Man is what I would love to play 24/7, but because my kids sometimes don't understand how to play man, especially in a pick and roll situation, we are forced to play a lot of zone this year. But I love to press. So we're gonna press. We're gonna get after it, and then in a half court, we're gonna get into a man.
Okay, so I'm gonna be devil's advocate now. Yep. So I think from having talked to enough coaches, you probably see a lot of zone, right?
Yes.
So I think you want to be different than everyone else.
Yeah.
I think you want to start playing man. I think you want to get good at man. I think you want to start working on like pack line or push left or something like that. Because that's one of the knocks on New York City basketball is no one plays D.
Yes.
They play a lot of zone.
Yes.
That's the college recruiter's issue, to be honest with you. You think about it. So that would be my challenge to you is like, how can you start teaching them the things that they need so you can play more man?
Right. Yeah. That's the big, and I think as far as philosophy goes with this program, that's it, right? That's where it stops because we have to do that, right? That's the biggest thing. And kids know
you'll be different.
100%. Right. And we'll be able to play with anyone, right? It doesn't matter what they're going to do if we're really good at playing man defense.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Because you can teach them the 2-3 zone in a day.
I can teach them that during the timeout.
Right. 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 But if you can play man and they get man, and here's my sell to you, because again, like I said, I've talked to a bunch of New York City coaches. I think the sell to them is if you want to play at the next level,
yes,
you're gonna play man.
You have to.
Okay. Unless you're going to Syracuse and playing in your 6'7" and long. Watch every college basketball game. What are they playing? Man.
Man.
Watch the NBA. What are they playing? Man. I mean, have to play man. So
you got to drive that home.
Point to them is it's harder. We have to be able to do this.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's how you sell them because they're teenage boys. They don't want to, they want to take the easy way out.
Right.
Like, well, you all want to play. Unless your guys are different than mine, they all want to play in college.
So right.
Like, wait, I want to help you play in college. If you can't play man, you can't play in college.
That's it.
Period. And
that's it.
Like, we're going to teach you. And then that's where you got to come up. And this is another coach I was talking to. You got to come up with a glossary of terms. Like, so everyone knows what help side is.
Right.
Everyone knows it's ball side or strong side. I mean, all your terms have to like get consistent, I think.
Yes. Yes.
Is there one coaching moment for your first couple of years as a head coach that we could dive into that might be beneficial to someone listening?
Yes. I would say this year when I had to get rid of my most talented player. That was the toughest moment for me because we were on the road. We jumped up 15 early, 15-0 early. But this team, they had depth. So they had about 12 kids who can play. And I'm going to say 4.5. Give me 5, right? So they came back. They made a little run. So now everybody's getting frustrated. We're missing assignments now. Playing man, right? But we weren't switching anything, right? That was a rule. So we're getting frustrated because we're not tough enough to now fight over screens or move under screens. So everybody's getting frustrated with each other. So I burned the time out.
Why don't you switch everything?
Because my big was on the court. I had two bigs with terrible feet.
Okay. That's valid.
That's valid. Yeah. If I switch and they have pretty good
guards.
Because
high school kids are not good at isolating and like the mismatch is not like.
No,
not
at all.
But if you get big on a guard outside, especially a 6'7" kid that doesn't have any feet.
That can't move his feet. It's like, whoa. Like, you know, it was a process teaching kids how to jump rope. So I had tough guards that were able to switch. Like in practice, we would get after it, right? Screens were. People would be on the floor because, like, they're fighting so hard. So I knew they were able to do it. You know, it wasn't a question of if they can do it. You know, it's just that they start being lazy in the game and looking for a bailout.
Right.
Because I tell the kids all the time, they tend to be afraid of the moment. When it's like, hey, if you spend 90 days preparing to fight over a screen, right, and you have 3 seconds to do it in the game, why are you not going to do it, right? You prepared 90 days for this.
Right.
Just fight over the screen. Right. Capitalize on that moment.
Because it's work. That's why.
Because it's work. Because it's tough.
Yeah. Right? It's tough.
So
that's what I tell them, too. It's easy to shoot a three. It's harder to get to the free throw line.
It's hard to get.
No, it's harder to get to the rim. You know?
It's tough getting beat up.
Yeah, like, it's hard. It's hard going. It's hard standing up to the bully is what I say.
Seriously. Seriously, man. So I burned a timeout, and I'm like, Jaden, and I ripped this kid. I'm like, Jaden, first of all, you did not fight over a screen. And second of all, you look like you don't know how to play basketball right now.
Right.
And he said during the timeout, he was like, Coach, you're going to stop yelling at me. And I was like, all right, this is it. Hey, big guy, go to the end of the bench. The assistant coach is going to take you to the locker room. You're done, right? Because what you're not going to do is disrespect. Not at all. Like, everybody's going to scream at, and you know better. Like, he's my returning player. He's one of my three returning players. So he knew, you know, how much I loved him, and he knew as a person how much I cared for him. And but this was like strike four because he missed a couple 6 a.m.s. He left out of one of the practices during the year. But, you know, every time we had a meeting, meditation, everything's going to be okay. Right. This is it. This is the last straw.
This is the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah. This is done. So then after the game, we're all together. And I said, listen, we're going to handle this as a family. But I want all you guys to know that he will never put on a Gordon jersey again.
Right.
And I told him, you will never put on a Gordon jersey again. And at the time, he was, you know, a tough guy, right? It don't matter. I'm going to be good. And that's probably my fault because I babied him, pampered him. But every other situation made him know, like, hey, it's going to be okay. But this one, I knew. I felt it myself. I said, I'm not going back on my word. And his mother actually called me at, like, midnight because he couldn't stop crying. And she's like, Coach, what are you going to do? I said, Ma, you know I love you. We've been through this for 2 years. But he crossed the line. Point and overturn. We'll speak to the team and moving forward as far as what they want to do with him. But he'll never play again for me. And that was – it was tough for me because, like I say, he's my most talented player, man. So
right.
As a club,
and you don't want to do that, but you got to also draw the line in the sand when they do. Yeah, you have to. Yeah,
you know,
I agree. What do you think the hardest thing to teach is?
In the sport of basketball, for us, we spoke about man defense one, but I also think that the toughest thing to teach is, and this is like going back old school, is the triple threat position for us. Because a lot of my kids, they like to either the ball is hot, or they never want to get rid of it, right? And it's just like, once you get that ball, it's three things you're going to do, baby. Like, and let's make a decision. Let's get in this position to do it, and now rock and roll. So just teaching my kids how the triple threat position works and how, you know, you can always make yourself a threat out of it. Don't have kids knowing that, hey, he's going to catch it and shoot it.
Right.
That's my biggest challenge right now.
Right, and yeah. Well, I agree. I think footwork and that are huge ones.
Absolutely.
All right. So let me go through. I'm going to go through my rapid fire and ask you a bunch of questions here. So what's your favorite? What was your favorite type of basketball? Brand of basketball?
Oh, I love the Rocks.
You do, and is that what you play with?
Yeah, until playoffs, then we have to play with Spalding. But before that, we use the Rock.
Okay, and do you practice with the Spalding?
We go back and forth. Once we get closer to the playoffs, we break it out.
Okay.
But before that, in the season, we play with the Rock.
Okay. If you could change one thing about basketball, what would you change?
The three-point line.
Really? Why?
Right now in this generation, they just fell in love with it. I just want to get my kids – a little tougher, and it won't be forever. I just want to take it away for a year to teach my kids how to do something.
Oh, you want to literally get rid of it? Wow. Okay. I want a wider court.
Oh.
I think the bodies are getting so big that the court isn't wide enough.
It's not wide enough either,
but at least at the collegiate level, they've dealt with that. I want to, or move the rim up.
Ooh. Ooh. Mm-hmm.
That'd be an easy fix. Move it up to like 10.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
That would neutralize things.
It would a lot.
It would. One word to describe your ideal player.
Tough.
Okay. If you go to one sporting event in the world, what would it be and why?
Army-Navy football game.
Wow.
I think that's, yeah.
You're the first one to say that. Okay, go ahead. Why?
Yeah. I think actually probably because it's fresh in my head. I just got finished watching that Showtime series where they followed Navy football for the season. And that game, I just, it has so much historical context to it. The president's always there. It's a big thing. And then you're also seeing people who are going to defend the country, you know? So like just the whole atmosphere of that game, I would love to be a part of it just to see how much tradition it has. I'm looking forward. I'm going to get there before it's all said and done.
Okay. Your favorite pregame meal?
I can't eat on game days.
That's fair. One skill not being taught?
Communication.
Okay. One thing you do to relax?
Music.
Okay. One coaching technique you consider important?
Communication.
Okay. Amen. Yep. Best basketball player you have seen in person?
I'm going to go with a guy like people don't really know because he's from my hometown. Jonathan Peterson is his name. He played at Roosevelt High School in Yonkers. But we also grew up together. He was the best basketball player I've seen play because he could do it all.
Okay. Best basketball player of all time? You can tell you're younger.
Yeah. But I'm going to go with Mike. I love Michael. And, you know, this Last Dance thing, I guess, because it's also fresh in the head, too. But I also grew up, you know, in the 90s where they were doing what they were doing. And my mom was a huge Michael Jordan fan. My dad was a Knicks fan. So it was great to see them going at it.
Did they have a basketball team?
I know, right? In the 90s, they did, though. But Michael Jordan, man. And
the Knicks. Oh, my God. I think the Bucks are better than the Knicks.
No, it lights out. But in the 90s, man, with Patrick Ewing, he had New York City rocking, man. Rocking.
Did they ever make it to a finals?
If he makes a finger roll, right, in a different situation.
The Knicks. Oh, my God. Anyway, it's kind of like the Mets. sorry. I'm a Cubs fan. So I've got to experience joy for the first time.
Yeah, you get a ring and then everything just changes.
Everything's good, changes. Man. But I was a Cubs fan before they were horrible. Trust me. I was anyway. One thing that helped you become a better coach?
Listening.
Amen. Best game you've seen in person?
I was at the Barclays when Duke beat UNC in the ACC tournament.
Oh, I bet that was a good game.
That was great because my boy's a UNC fan and I'm a Duke fan. So, that was a great night.
Dude, North Carolina had a tough season, man.
Yeah, yes, they did.
They had a tough season. Yes,
they got a kid from, actually, Westchester going out there to play next year.
Oh, they do?
RJ Davis, yeah.
One word to describe your coaching style.
Loud.
Okay. Best basketball coach of all time.
There's so much controversy involving my guy, but I really, 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 really did like Bobby Knight, man.
Okay. I have no problem with Bobby Knight.
Yeah.
One book you would recommend?
One book I recommend is David and Goliath by Malcolm Gladwell.
First of all, his podcast is awesome. If you don't listen to his podcast.
Yes.
You should listen to Coach Unplugged, but you should listen to that too. That's a great podcast. It is. I love that. He doesn't really come out enough. He's got some other ones that are good that are kind of under his umbrella, but he's so
right.
Yeah, so good. Your favorite quote?
My favorite quote, I have a few, but the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step.
That's that for everybody building a program. That's your Absolutely. Honey. That's your honey point right there.
That's the All bread right. and butter.
So this is always my last question. What would you tell? Now you're young, so this is gonna be a little bit harder. But what would you tell your younger self, or what would you tell a young coach that you've learned in your first couple of years? Now,
this
is a little different than when I'm asking a 50-year-old, but it's always my last question. It's like, what would you tell yourself here? I'm going to change it. What would you tell yourself before you coached your first high school game? Mm-hmm. What would you tell yourself? What would you say to yourself when you just got the job and you're driving home? What would you tell yourself?
I would tell myself to figure out what I want to do and just do that very well. Because a lot of times, especially last year and the year before, I would just try to do a little bit of everything.
Right. get good at something.
Correct. Yes. Let's do what we do. And if we do that very well, I don't think we can be stopped. So that's something I'm working through mentally. And that's something I also tell my younger self, right? Figure out who you are. Do what you do. If it's books, if it's sports, just do it very well.
Well, and what I tell people, too, is simplify. Like, so, okay, again, for people listening a year from now, we're in COVID. Coaches are doing great things right now. But there are 80 billion clinics out there right now. I had to stop. I stopped all notifications because it's too much. I can't watch 6 hours of video a day on 18. So what I did was, okay, that's why I'm starting doing podcasts on building a program and practice planning. Mm-hmm. I narrowed my topic so I could get good at it. Now, once I'm done with that, I will broaden and I'm going to work on some pressing stuff that I want to learn about. So I think for a young coach, narrow. There's lots of free resources. If you want to learn how to run a 2-2-1, there's YouTube channels. The cow comes home. There's coaches in your area that run a 2-2-1 or whatever. Call them. There's it. But don't try to learn everything because you can't. Okay. It's not what you know, it's what your players know. Now you need to know everything because coach over here might be playing me and he might do something down the stretch.
Right.
I have to counter for it. So I have to know a lot of things, but it's what they know. It's so you really have to narrow. So that would be, you know, I usually don't jump in on these, but that would be my advice to these.
No, I love that. And I wrote that down.
It's literally caused what little hair I have to fall out. It's like, seriously, because it's just, and I love that all these people are doing it. The National Association of Basketball Coaches are doing our state association's doing it. You know, the virtual clinics are doing it. Mm-hmm. Those are all great. Mm-hmm. Narrow. Find a mentor and narrow. Narrow.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. I need that.
Because it's too much. You feel like you're not doing enough. That's the problem.
Right.
It's this imposter syndrome that we all go through. It's like, man, everyone's watching all these tapes and blah, blah, blah. It's like, they're not, unless they have no life.
Correct.
I mean, who has time to watch all these things?
All of that. Yeah, no. And I think you said the biggest thing for me, and that's what I figured out, is I need to know it all, but they don't, right? And that was a big thing for me.
You don't need to know it all in depth.
Right.
Like, you maybe need to spend, and I need to learn how to play pack line D, and I'm a king of that. But, I need to know how to run a 2-3 or a 1-3-1, but I don't need to be like an expert at it. I'm not an expert at everything. And if I'm not, I try to find people that will.
Correct.
But it's like, you can't be an expert in everything. Right. You know, it's like, So, well, thank you, Coach. I really appreciate coming on.
No, I do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Please keep putting out the content because I love it. I love what you're doing. And even, your family, I wish you guys the best during this tough time, man. I'm happy you and your son got to share that moment in his high school career. And again, like I said, I'll be reaching out just to get some more advice because I love what you're doing out there. I love what you're building. It's amazing. So thank you for having me. For real,
you're welcome. Pleasure. You're welcome. Stay safe.
Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you subscribe, like, jump up and down, review, do whatever you got to do. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great
Sports Social Podcast Network.